Well, we are finishing our series called Heads or Tails. So this is the last installment of the Heads or Tails sermon series, and it's been fun for me. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. And if you want to get caught up and you haven't heard all of them, they're all on the website, goodhope.ag. And so if you want to listen to those, then that would be awesome. but we've covered a whole bunch of stuff in the Heads or Tails series. The biggest thing is just kind of dispelling that common myth that in order to be a Christian, you have to always be on the bottom. That in order to be a Christian, you just sort of get pushed around and that's the way that goes and you don't really have any control over your life and you just, you know, somebody does something, you just sort of take it and that kind of a deal. Of course, we talked about turning the other cheek. Did Jesus say turn the other cheek? Absolutely. But he wasn't telling you to be an enabler. He was helping you to overcome somebody else's inadequacy. The Apostle Paul said that when we show kindness to our enemies, it's like putting burning coals on their head. Have you read that scripture? Isn't that a fun one? Do you want to know what that means? Because it's important. That's one that maybe can be taken out of context. Because he's not talking about torturing your enemies. You know what coals and heat is? A refining. It's a, you know, take the coal, touch my lips, that whole thing, make me clean, take my sins away. One of the things that happened in the old time Jewish tradition was if somebody was particularly repentant, you know, they had different ways of doing things, like they'd tear their clothes and they'd throw dust in the air for different things. And one of the things they would do is if they really felt bad about something they did wrong, they would wear this particular headdress of some sort that would have coals in it and it would smoke. And they were saying, I've been wrong and this is my desire to be made clean, to be purged of that falsehood. So what Paul is saying is that when we return kindness for hatred, when we return love for wrong, the other people realize they're the ones doing the wrong. They're the ones who are guilty. What happens if I'm wronged and I wrong the person back? Does that bring them to repentance? No, they wrong me back a little bit more and I wrong them a little bit more and it just escalates and gets worse and worse. So even in turning the other cheek, we are the ones who are to be the strong ones. We are the ones who are to be controlling the situation. We are the ones who are demonstrating the power of God even in turning the other cheek. Amen? Amen. Are you guys, you doing good today? Everybody's happy. We had some people come in Vikings garb for the 8:30 service. These are resilient people. We got Vikings right there. Come on. Resilient people. That's good. That's good. By the way, I told the 8:30 service that we have arranged for them to be able to come in an hour later next week. We have been able to fix it so that the whole nation is going to change their clocks so that they can come an hour later. So if you're wondering about making the jump to 8:30, next week would be the time to do it. You know? Let's read Deuteronomy 28:13. And this is our theme verse for the Heads or Tails series. It says this: the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Does this say, no matter what, we're always at the top, never at the bottom? We're always the head, not the tail. Is that what it says? No, there's an if in there. It is very important. It's a very important if. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, then these other things can be expected. And of course, this was written to the entire nation of Israel. It wasn't written to one individual. So there's some tricks as far as discerning what principles we can apply to an individual or to a family or to a church. versus what needs to happen for a nation. And if the nation of Israel had followed these commands, the Ten Commandments, and the other laws and rules of Deuteronomy, if they had followed those rules when they entered into the Promised Land, what would that nation have been like? A nation where not a single lie is spoken, ever. A nation where nothing is ever stolen, ever. A nation with no broken homes, because there's no adultery, there's no covetousness, ever. A nation where there's not a single murder, no destruction, ever. Where everyone loves God and puts God first. That nation is going to rise to a place of strength. That nation is going to be the head, not the tail. That nation is going to lend to other nations and borrow from none. You can see it clearly when you apply it that way. And so we talked about a whole bunch of stuff. Man, if you didn't hear that, you can go on the website again and listen to the different sermons. We talked about false masters. Did Jesus say you can follow several masters? You know, see how it works out for you. Maybe, you know, this day that master is doing right by you, and the next day this other one will be better, and you can sort of skip around. Well, he said, no, you can only serve one master. So we should quit trying to serve a bunch. And then later on, he says, you know, either you'll love the one and hate the other, or you'll hate the one and love the other. We try. What he's saying is you can try, but it won't work out well for you. And I tell you, Jesus is the best master. He's the best one. Money makes a great servant. So, you know, can I get an amen on that one? Money makes a great servant. We're looking to build an addition next year, put a kitchen on this place, some offices and classrooms, and then the kids don't have to be in that other spot. That'll be great. It's going to take a servant called money to do that. But we never want money to be our master, to be the one leading us, to be the one making decisions for us. We don't want to have any other false masters like fear or any of those other things. Boy, we talked about the authority of the believer in the past, which is exactly what this video was all about. The husband, the head of the home a couple weeks ago. Come on. Listen to that one. If you didn't hear that one, I got a call from Jamaica. Dude said, hey, I listened to your sermon online. That was good. I'm like, all right, amen. No problem. We've covered a whole bunch of stuff. Last week, we talked about the church being strong. What does it take for the church to be the head, not the tail? For the church to be on top, not on the bottom? And this is true for Good Hope Church. It's true for other churches. It's true for the body of Christ in general. I just gave you four things real quick. Show up. You know, it's important to show up for church. From this side of the little music stand, it is so important for people to show up. You think, well, I just came, I sat there, I didn't really do anything. Blah, what difference does it make? Oh my goodness, is it huge. It is huge. If nobody shows up for the Jesus uprising, it just fizzles out. You know, we need to come and stand for the Lord. Show up and then give. Giving is very important. Very important. Forgive. Wouldn't it be awesome if everybody who called themselves a Christian forgave every offense every time? What would this world be like? There'd be a lot less denominations in the United States. That is for sure. Come on. Amen. And then, so we want to forgive and then help out. Get involved. Do some stuff. We had people volunteer for different things last week. Very excited about this. Many hands make light work. We all do our part. And guess what? The church is strong. God is able to use His people when we work together. This week, the culmination of the series, the choice is yours. Heads or tails? You get to pick. You choose. Heads or tails? Do you want heads or do you want tails? Do you want to be on the top? Do you want to be on the bottom? You choose. Have you ever found yourself on the bottom and you thought, I don't want to be here? Sometimes we end up there and we don't know how we got there. I didn't want to be on the bottom. How did I get here? So many times we end up missing the if, and then we're shocked as to how come we're on the bottom. I mean, husbands, if you don't love your wife like Christ loves the church and then you have marriage problems, why would you be shocked? Wives, if you don't respect your husbands and you have marriage problems, why would you be shocked? You've just ignored the ways of God. It's going to cause issues. Then you end up on the bottom and you think, how did I get here? It's because of that important if. Very, very significant. All right. We are going to read a bunch of Scripture today. You guys like the Word of God? We're going to read a bunch of it. A couple weeks ago, we did like two verses. The least ever in a Pastor Mike sermon. This week, we're going to get a whole bunch. So we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to read several verses here. We're going to be in Romans. This is going to be awesome. We're going to go all over the place. You're definitely, definitely worth coming today. Deuteronomy 30, starting in verse 11. Now, this is, of course, just a couple chapters after 28 that we read. And this is Moses speaking from God, really laying it out to the people. Here's the deal. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. What I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. This is the Old Testament Mosaic law. I've read the whole thing. It's somewhat complicated. There's rules. You find mold in your house. You have to do this. You have to do that. You can't eat bullheads, but you can eat, you know, northerns. You can't eat rabbits, but you can eat goats. You know, it's like, well, how does this all work? I don't understand. I think you can eat grasshoppers, but not bats. You know, I mean, there's all this stuff. I'm good with not eating bats, by the way. Why would you want to eat that? That's specifically in there. Don't eat bats. Yeah. So there's all these rules, and it's all this stuff. And have you tried to get it straight? Have you read through the Old Testament and just thought to yourself, wow, man, gracious, what? What I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. And remember, we went through the Ten Commandments. So he's talking about the Ten Commandments and then some extra stuff. Hey, this is not beyond you. You can follow the Ten Commandments. You can do this. It isn't hard. You can do it. It's not too far away. And then remember the mirror image of the Ten Commandments that Jesus did in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, yeah, okay, you're not murdering. That's great. You need to not hate. Okay, you're not committing adultery. That's good. You need to not look at a woman lustfully. You need to not have adulterous thoughts, an adulterous heart. Jesus took the law and fulfilled it by taking it from the external action into the heart. And I tell you, the answer is the same. It is not too hard for you. You can do it. It is within your grasp. And we're going to read that in Romans chapter 10. But isn't it a significant doctrine today that if we're trying to serve God, that we must fail? I've heard people say that you have to fail thousands of times every day. Have you heard that doctrine? Well, we all sin thousands of times every day anyway. Haven't you heard that? Saying, well, you have to fail God. You have to not be able to meet the standard thousands of times every day. What a thing to proclaim over yourself. It's not what the Bible says. Now, we'll get into this later because guess what? It's a battle. There's not just like snap your fingers, I'm perfect, it's all good. I mean, that's delusional. There is a war. And a lot of that war goes on inside of ourselves. And we need to fight that battle. But we shouldn't assume that we have to lose. We can win. In fact, it says, what I'm commanding you is not too difficult for you. It's not beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us that we may obey it. No, this word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. It's here and able to be obeyed. How much more now that we are in the New Testament era where the Holy Spirit is unleashed upon all flesh, can we have this be true? The truth of God in our hearts, in our mouth. Here's a key verse, 15. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. So what the Lord is saying to the nation of Israel is, I got two options in front of you. I'm putting them here for you. Behind door number one, life and prosperity. Behind door number two, death and destruction. I'm setting those things in front of you. Let's keep reading. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. We should pay attention to that. Okay. Like, you know, if you're just sort of reading along and all of a sudden you say, you will be destroyed. Like, okay, well, this I need to pay attention to. Very important. I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that you have this choice. Raise your hand if you have a specific doctrinal stance on the sovereignty of God. I want to know what you think about this. Who has heard the phrase God is sovereign? Raise your hand. Got to just get a survey here. Got a bunch of sheepish people. And okay, we got God is sovereign. Amen. Well, we're looking at about 50-50, but let me help you out. God is sovereign. And what that means is He's in control. He calls the shots. He gets to make the decisions. Whatever He wants to do, He has the power to do. And He understands what needs to be done. He's in charge. Do you believe God is in charge? However, where people can get confused with that is they can say, well, God is in charge, so it's not up to me. Well, guess what? God's in charge and He says, you choose. God is sovereign, and in His sovereignty, He has decided to give us options. Is He able to do that? Hey, He's in control of the situation. He can do whatever He wants. If it says here He's given us options, He's given us options. Don't use sovereignty as an excuse doctrine. Excuse doctrines are dangerous. Looking for reasons to fail, trying to figure out how we can not have it work. We'll cut it there. That's good. All right. Setting these things before us. Now, just as the Ten Commandments are mirrored in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. So, chapter 30 of Deuteronomy is mirrored in Romans chapter 10. It's really very interesting. The Apostle Paul quotes verses we just read in Romans chapter 10 in order to make another point. So, let's go to Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 5. It says this. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. That's from Leviticus or something along those lines. And what that means is The man who does these things will live and prosper. If you do these things, it'll work out for you. That's what this means. So if you don't do these things, you'll live by them. You will live because of them. You will live long in the land. You will succeed. But the righteousness... Oh, I'm sorry. Moses described in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. So here's kind of a fuller meaning of the heaven and the sea. You've got Christ from above and Christ rising again. But what does it say? What does it say in Deuteronomy chapter 30, Paul is saying? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. All right, I'm going to hold there for just a second. So what Paul is saying is now the way of faith, which really is a restoration. You know, people think that the way of faith is a brand new thing. You know, like Adam and Eve had the Mosaic Law and then it got fixed. Well, Adam and Eve did not have the Mosaic Law. They had one rule, don't eat that fruit. And they walked with God. Adam spent time with God. God brought the animals that he had created in front of Adam and he got to name them. Wouldn't that have been a cool thing? Hey, Adam, check this out. Out walks a giraffe. Look at that thing. What do you want to call that? It's a giraffe. You're right, Adam. That is a giraffe. Good for you. And they're like, oh, that's cool, you know? And then they're sitting there for a while, you know, talking about the Vikings and stuff. And then hey, Adam, guess what? Check this out. And, you know, here comes an elk. He's like, what do you think that is? I think it's an elk. You're right, Adam. You know, it just this would have taken some time. You know, I mean, there's lots of animals. They need to hang out. It's just cool. That's how it started. And that's how it's going to finish. Of course, we had the fall, everything went icky. And then, have you ever thought, let's just get rid of the bad guys? Have you ever thought that? Wouldn't the world be better if we got rid of the bad guys? Well, that's Noah and the flood. Didn't solve the problem. Then we got Abraham. Well, let's not kill everybody. Let's just separate out a people who will live by faith. Here's faith, the man of faith, Abraham, the father of faith. Living by faith. How did that go? A little shaky. Okay, well, they're not getting the faith thing. It's a little too subjective, I guess. How about just telling them what to do? There's Moses. 10 commandments. And a bunch of other ones, too. You know, all this stuff. Do all of it. Just do this. And now is the reestablishment of the relationship that Adam had and the faith that Abraham had. That is what we walk in today in the age of the church, the age of the Holy Spirit, the New Testament era. It's a wonderful, wonderful time to be alive. It's a great, great time. And it's attainable. That's why Paul was saying that. What are you, you know, up in the heavens, down in the bottom of the sea? No, it's here. Your relationship with Christ it's right here. It's right here. All you need to do is open yourself up to it, and you can receive it. And following the Spirit is not as complicated as people make it. We can do it. We can succeed. We can choose. All right. Verse 9. This word of faith that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Two hugely important things in this verse. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, this is the thing that we don't necessarily get real good in America. We like Jesus as Savior. We like the end of the verse. We like being saved. We don't necessarily want to have a Lord, though. What does it mean, Jesus is Lord? It means that the authority over me is Jesus. That if I think this and Jesus thinks that, that it is. If I think, well, so-and-so is a jerk and I'm not going to forgive him, and Jesus says, nope, you're going to forgive. You go, okay, I'm with you. You may need to help me, though. One of the things we'll cover in just a few minutes, when, or maybe we'll cover it right now. I guess we are, aren't we? So, the Israelites, you know, you're there, the Israelites, they've let my people go and they leave Egypt and they're going to go to the promised land and it's going to be awesome. And they go check it out to see if it's really as cool as God said it was. And it was. Except for what? Big, scary people. They were big, scary people, and they were strong, and they were warriors, and the Israelites were a slave nation. They've been beaten down for 400 years. They don't know the first thing about overcoming. They've been overcome over and over and over. So they get scared of the giants, and they run away. And that's a bad deal, and God gets really mad at them, and they all die in the desert. And then they come back, you know, except for Joshua and Caleb, and Moses gets to watch from the distance, and then he dies, but he doesn't get to go into the land. And then Joshua leads the people into the promised land. And by faith, they take the land after praying for 30 seconds, and it's just easy from there. By faith, they entered into the battle and they sustained the battle and they had their ups and downs and they kept fighting and kept fighting and years passed and years passed and they took the promised land. This was not a bloop, here you go. Promised land is for you. They still had to fight the giants. God was with them. They had faith to engage and sustain the battle. What I want for you today is to realize that faith is not just to receive the instantaneous miracle. I like instantaneous miracles. You guys like instantaneous miracles? I like those. Has anybody seen instantaneous miracles? Yeah, we got quite a few. But doesn't it happen the other way more often? I haven't met anybody that every area in their life was the instantaneous miracle, we're all good. It's much more like Joshua and Caleb entering into the promised land and having to fight for years. When you know that you can't enter the promised land until unforgiveness is broken off of your heart, that you can't truly enter into the presence of God in its fullness until that is broken, you may have to spend some years fighting and persevering and battling to get there, because it's not just, that's a big, big giant, depending on what you've been through. It's a big enough giant that people say, I can't do it. I can't make it. I can't succeed. I have to fail. I call heaven and earth as witnesses that you can choose. There are times we don't think we have a choice when we do. The first time around, when the Israelites saw the promised land, they saw the giants, did they feel like they got to choose between taking the land or not? They thought they had no choice. It was either get killed by the giants or run. They thought that those were their only options, but those were not their only options. There was take the land by faith, meaning spend years fighting for it. Or there was run. They didn't see the options they had in front of them. Here's an example of that in my own personal life. I met Trinette at an outdoor theater company. My wife, Trinette. Hey, Trinette. And it was a show that went all summer long. It was super awesome. The stage was a beach with the lake, and then these big rock outcroppings and all the stuff happened around here. And we did the show like 60 times. And I got a new role. This was towards the end of the year. And I got a new role that I had not played before. And in this role, I shoot an arrow at somebody on the stage. And then they're like, woo, you know, and they fall over. And it's this cool thing. The only problem is I didn't know what my cue was. And the show is going on. You know what I mean? It's like it happens every day. So, can we have a few days so I can practice? No, it's already started. So I'm backstage and I'm like, dude, I don't know what my cue is. Anybody know what my cue is? And this one guy who knew the show really, really well, he said, oh, you can just go on the stage whenever you want. I was like, what? I mean, maybe I don't know as much about theater as you do, but people can't just walk out on the stage. You know, that doesn't work that way. So I was like, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. And so, you know what I did? I just waited for it to get quiet on the stage and then figured it was my turn. So, created a bit of an awkward moment. I'm sure everybody was like, isn't somebody supposed to get hit with an arrow, you know? I'm like, it's quiet, this must be my fault. So I ran out there and bam, you know? That was a disaster. Arrow went flying this way, and a guy over there goes, ah, you know. But I thought, I don't have a choice. He says go out on stage. I can't do that. It doesn't work that way. But here's the deal. The stage, my entry point was up on this rock outcropping, and everybody was over here, and this was all dark. I could have come out on stage and sat there for 5 minutes. And nobody would have noticed. But I didn't see it as an option. Wow, do we do that with the things of God? God is saying, just do this. You're like, no, that's not an option. That doesn't work that way. But if I had had faith in what that other guy said, I'd have just gone out on the stage and thought, well, okay, you know, expecting, like, oh, this could be bad. We do have options. We do have the capacity to overcome. One of the things let me ask you this one. The Israelites thought the giants were going to kill them. Were the giants any match for the Israelites? Let me ask it this way. Were the giants any match for God? And God was with the Israelites. They looked at their giants and they said, we can't do it. We cannot beat them. How true is that for us? Whatever giant you may have, I have a list of giants. We think those giants are too big. We can't beat them. Unbelief and fear. I like the guy that said to Jesus, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Because honestly, isn't our faith in God a progressive thing? We believe more and more and more as we get to know the things of God. We grow in our faith. We grow in our ability to believe. It's not just a matter of being pressured by church people. You better believe better. Better have more faith. We grow in that. As we do the things of God, we learn to trust God because we see what happens. Unforgiveness is a huge giant. You really do have to forgive. And God really does know how big of a giant that is. He really does. Look at what Jesus had to do on the cross to free us from sin. It's a big, big giant. A big giant, but you don't want that giant taking you down. You don't want that giant keeping you out of the promised land. The sinful nature is a big giant. You can conquer that giant. Let me ask you this. Do you want to get to the promised land? You know there is a promised land for each one of us. We have that land of plenty that we can access through Christ today, here. It's largely inside, but it's also on the outside. We can access that. The problem I see with Christians, though, is we want to take the land, but we don't want to have a fight. I want to be healed like that. I don't want to persevere through pain. I want to be healed like that. And if I don't get my healing like that, I'm going to be very upset with God. I love instantaneous healings. I think that's great. But you want to know something? There are people that come to this church who are in pain every moment. And they walk through those doors and they sit down and they are overcoming the enemy just by showing up for church on a hard day. Amen? That is fighting the battle. There are people who come to this church who get really down from time to time. And just smiling at their spouse is warfare between heaven and hell. Overcoming just by smiling at their spouse, receiving a compliment rather than continuing to be crushed. That's the battle. That's not, boy, that instantaneous, oh, wonderful testimony thing. But that is warfare. I tell you, faith is involved in receiving a miracle. But faith is more important in persevering through the battle. It's more important to have faith to continue the struggle than it is to believe for 30 seconds. And see if something cool happens. We need to have the faith that continues the battle, continues the struggle, fights the fight. Because guess what? It is a fight. Amen? We don't get to enter the promised land without slaying some giants. Sinful nature has to go. Pride, selfishness, shame, they gotta go. We need to battle health problems. We talked about that. I love miracles. But I tell you what, the Lord cheers for those who fight through physical problems and don't let them stop them. Financial issues, those are obstacles. Those are giants. I can never get out of this hole. I used to think, oh my goodness, we'll never be able to build an addition. I think we can. Pretty excited about that. That's going to be great. The kids will have an actual, like, children's area. That'll be great. Relationship problems. How you do relationship can be a giant. How about your own understanding and the need for mind renewal? Slay that giant. That one lives forever. I mean, until this life is over. We're just going to try to chop it down as much as we can. Get as much of our mind renewed and understanding the things of God as possible. Slaying the giant of complacency and distraction. The weeds. Slaying the giant of not being able to persevere. Not having fortitude, the shallow soil that Jesus talked about. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward. We're going to close. I just want you to understand again, this is not too difficult for you, but there is a battle you'll have to fight. It's not too difficult to get to the promised land, but it's not just going to be a simple little snap your fingers, pray a little prayer, and everything's all good. We've lived long enough to realize that's just not how it goes. We have to battle. We have to fight to be able to forgive. We have to fight to be able to understand how to manage our money properly. We have to fight to be able to learn how to be a husband and a wife and how to be a father or a mother. We have to fight through that to get there. Then we can live that life that God has for us, that fullness. So heads or tails, you get to choose. You pick. It's been set before you. You can choose to follow Christ or you can refuse. God has given you that power. He has put it on you and said, here, you have this authority. You can follow me. Remember, God's sovereign. He could just make us follow him. We could be his little puppets. He said, no, I don't want that. I want them to be free and have a choice. So he made us free. He gave us a choice. I tell you, choose life. Choose wisely. Choose the Lord. I'm going to close in prayer. If you have a prayer need, we got the prayer team here. They'll pray with you. You've got giants you're battling and you're just thinking, I can't win. That's an illusion. You can. Your giant is no match for Jesus. On your own, you're in trouble. But your giant is no match for Jesus. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the peace that you pour onto our hearts as we trust in you. Father, help us to have faith to persevere. It's one thing to have faith for today's miracle, but then when those things are shaken, what do? Lord, help us to have faith to endure through the battle. Help us to stand with you. Lord, help us to realize we have the power to choose. That when something comes at us, we can say no. And we can choose to go with you. Father, I pray right now that for those who need to come up for prayer, that you would just touch their hearts right now and that they would know, oop, I got to go forward. Lord, we want to be allies in this battle. We want to work together and fight together, side by side, lifting each other's arms up. So Lord, give them the courage to come forward and receive prayer. I know all of us need prayer. And Father, for those who are going to be departing now, I just pray that your peace would go with us. Lord, that your strength would go with us. Lord, that you would just let your light shine in our hearts and let it shine wherever we go. Lord, help us to say hi to somebody we don't know and encourage them in the Lord. So bless our day, the rest of the day, and the rest of the week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.